Welcome once again to the Jam Room, folks. This is Andy, the Air Weaver, and I am pleased to be with you once again. This is the third show after Twist and Shout 2017, and you know, a lot of us come home from conventions with a letdown kind of feeling, especially if you return to the Northeast, where right now many of us are in the midst of the biggest storm in probably 20 years. Definitely the biggest storm since my kids have been born, and it's still going. I'm currently sitting with close to 2 feet of snow outside the door. School today was canceled as of last night before the first snowflake fell, and already now tomorrow's school has been canceled. The kids are excited until they realize that this means they're going to go further into June than they had thought. So my wife's off today and goes in late tomorrow, but the backhoe that comes and plows us out has been here, and it looks like we might actually make it to a road. So I made some projects for myself while I was snowed in, get some videos up on YouTube, do the podcast, and also start going through my magic collection. So if you can't tell from the last 2 weeks, I am all about the balloon show right now. I did get my roots in performing magic, and I still like to perform. And that's kind of the ongoing joke of the show, is how much I prefer balloons to magic. But I still like performance, whether it be balloons, magic, comedy, or otherwise. It's all just entertainment. And so I really felt things click after I came back from Twist and Shout. I had a great show that Friday at a school. I'd added music in a very rough way. I've refined it since. But just the kinds of things that are kind of entertainment 101, I was hesitant to actually get into for some reason. And I now feel like I have a show that's worth selling, that's worth hyping, that is I have no trouble pitching for the rates I'm trying to get. Whereas before, I was kind of like, yeah, if I do this, and if I do this, and if I do this, yeah, I think I have a show. So the question is, how do you build a balloon show? And I'm going to refer to a post by Buster Balloon. It's a couple years old now, but shared on Facebook. And I think it referenced one of his Balloon HQ columns, actually, from some time ago. So this advice goes back longer. And this advice really is timeless. And that is this. To do any show, it's not about the material. You need good material, but you have to have stage presence. You have to be able to entertain. And that can't always be taught by buying someone's routines or props or learning their figures. So I basically have returned to what I wanted to do as an entertainer. I've been less inhibited ever since, you know, starting to go to Twist and Shout. And I'm letting the silly guy that makes a five-year-old lose their minds with laughter, I'm letting him be the guy who does the balloon show too. I don't know what took me so long. I'm very outgoing. I've no problem getting on stage in front of people. I have stage presence, but I don't know. There was something about performing that I felt like it had to fit a certain mold, and I'm getting rid of that mold. I've referenced many times performers I look up to, Great Zucchini and Chris Capehart, especially as kind of off the beaten path children's entertainers. And I'm finally kind of harnessing what they talk about. So I'm very excited, if you can't tell. And I did something that I'm going to recommend as a tip. It's not my original idea by any means, but I've shared it with enough people that I feel like they haven't heard this idea, so I'll be the one to hip you to it. You need video of you performing, right? If you're trying to sell your show to schools, libraries, amusement parks, corporate people, whatever, if you want to say to people, I have a show that's, you know, worth this much and I can perform for your group on a stage or on a flat surface, whatever, you know, I have it ready to go. They need to see it. They don't need to see the whole thing, but they need to see clips of you performing for real people. Now, sometimes that can be had by simply taping your shows and getting permission from everybody who appears on camera. That can be tricky, though, depending on the venue, depending on your time to be able to do that. So something that others have done that I've decided to just go ahead and do is throw my own show and invite people that I knew would sign a release. So I did it. I think I talked about this last week. The show went great. I had invitations to kids from my church, to Cub Scouts that I deal with, to the people that follow my Facebook page, and some individual invitations to friends and family in the area with young children. I got a cake. I put my logo on the cake. I spent some money this week in not only branding my show with a new banner by putting my logo on a prop, thanks to a good friend of mine with a Cricut cutter, but I actually went and got a Walmart cake with Air Weaver Balloons logo on it. I gave little goodie bags to everybody who came, and I had prizes, including the grand prize was a bag full of things to get you started as a balloon artist, a hand pump, some quality Qualitex and Batalitex balloons, and Brian Getz's beginner DVD. So I really threw it as my own party and all for the sake of getting video. I mean, for practice too, but in rehearsal, but getting video of myself with kids so I could use that to promote myself. The other thing I did was after the show, I had my children interviewing the other kids there, and a lot of them that were there were their friends, and some cousins actually, interviewing them on what did you like about the Air Weaver Balloon Show? What was your favorite part? How would you rate it on a scale of 1 to 10? And Olivia came up with some clever 1 to 10 ideas. So now I've got kids talking to kids about my show, and I can use those clips as well. Only downside, if you do something like this, make sure your audio capture is very good. Audio is one of those things that you don't notice unless it's bad. And my intention is to edit this so that I have a promo reel where there's royalty-free music as an underbed, and you're seeing clips of my show with maybe some text, or maybe I'll narrate or have the kids narrate. But when it comes to the live interviews, we were relying on my camera internal mic, and I do have an external mic. I just didn't get it there that night, and the result is not the best audio. It just has a lot of noise around. It's clear there's other kids in the room, but maybe that helps it sound like a party, and I will simply subtitle it with text so that you can see more clearly what these kids are saying. So anyway, I have a lot of editing ahead of me, but apparently with a second snow day tomorrow, no one's going anywhere doing anything else. Once I do some work writing, I'm going to make some phone calls, and then I have time to do some more video editing. So that's what I've been up to, is really hustling my own show promotional video. And now I feel like I'm really going to be off to the races, because it's one thing to talk to people and try to pitch one thing and say, you do line work. Oh yeah, I do shows too. Well, what would that look like? Now I'm going to be able to have a YouTube video embedded onto a website and pinned on my Facebook and all that, so I can send people and say, there you go. I might even put it on thumb drives and mail it directly to potential clients that I'm looking to woo. So there's my tip of the week. Have your own party and tape it. There you go. All right. So if you happen to be in the Lancaster, Pennsylvania area, and you hear this show before March 18th, if that's at all possible, come on out to the Entertainer Swap Meet, where I'm going to be selling all my old props and some of the new stuff I've been making, and just come hang out with performers. It's a yard sale and a gathering. Going to see some familiar faces I met at Kidvention and some folks I've known for quite some time. I think that's all I have now in the way of announcements and preamble. Like I said, I'm sad to be still post Twist and Shout, but I've been taking what I learned there, what I got inspired by there, and I'm rolling it forward in promoting my business. So I hope you are doing the same, promoting your business in whatever way you find appropriate. Maybe you're sprucing up your business cards. Maybe you're finally making some bookmarks to hand out to kids instead of cards. Maybe you've got your icon on a coloring page, a beautiful caricature of yourself. Whatever it is you're doing, make your name known as a balloon artist, as the go-to person in your area. So they're not just hiring some balloon person, but they want you. That's the key to all this stuff. All right, enough about me. I'm very excited, if you can't tell. It's time now to go to our interview. We are going to travel now to Southern California and talk with Darren and Anza, the Sorry Siblings.
sorry, so sorry.
All right, well, listeners of the show know that I obsess over what the weather's like elsewhere, and today it's the worst where I am. So no matter where the guest is from, they're going to have it better than me right now. But I especially hate these two right now because they're in sunny Southern California, in Corona, California. Say hello to Darren and Anza Sari. Hi, guys.
Hey, how's it going?
It's all right. I've never had this much snow. This is like my kid. Well, no, I probably have in my lifetime, but in my kid's lifetime, this is the most snow ever. So we're people have to see photographic evidence. You guys don't get much snow in Corona, do you?
No, not at all. It's 85 degrees right now where we're at, and we have never experienced what it's like to be snowed in. So you're lucky.
I'm lucky. Oh, okay. Well, we'll see. I mean, it is a neat experience once. After a couple days of we can't dig out, it's a little different. So you must be in Southern California then.
Yeah, Southern California. We're about an hour and 20-minute drive from L.A. without traffic, and then we're about an hour and 20-minute drive from San Diego.
Okay.
So we're like right in the middle.
Okay, prime. That sounds like prime real estate.
Yeah, right. Corona, right in the Empire.
So you guys are, enough about my hatred of snow. You guys, we met at Twist and Shout 2017, and I love to tell the story of how I ran across you guys for the first time. It floats my ego.
Right.
Darren, I'll let you tell it.
Oh, you're going to let me tell it? All right, cool.
Right on.
Well, we got to the, nice. Well, we just arrived at the hotel. We were waiting in line to get checked in and everything, and it already started to be like a balloon family. Like, we could see people. I saw people that I knew on Facebook and stuff, so it was already starting to be like all this buzz. Everybody was so excited at the beginning of Twist and Shout. It was really awesome. So then we headed up to our room. We were in the elevator. We headed out and got to the third floor, and then I see Andy Weaver walking through the hall and walk through into the elevator, and right before it closes, he stops it from closing. And I saw you, and I said, "Hey, are you Andy Weaver?" And you're like, "Yeah." And I said, "Oh, I listen to your podcast." And I've listened, and to kind of go back to the podcast from the recap of Eric, Weird Eric's podcast, you were talking about how it like helped like solidify your you as the podcast guy, which I thought was really cool. So like, thanks for that shout out. But it was really cool to like say, "Hey, you're the podcast guy," and you're like, "Yeah," and then you're just in the elevator, and that was really funny. And that was just it. It was really awesome to see you in person for the first time.
Well, and I mean, I'm just telling you, it was funny because for me, I'm like, you know, I don't have any DVDs out. Like, you know, people recognize Buster and Matt Falloon and, you know, people who do videos. And I'm like, I have a face for radio, you know. So I'm like, wow, somebody recognized me from my podcast. And I don't know them yet. That was the other thing. Because I'm like, I know a lot of folks who listen to the show because they've been on it. So I'm like, ooh, new people. I was all excited. So you made my day. I went down to the lobby and I said, "Hey, guess what?" I don't even remember who I saw, but I was like, "Guess what? I just got recognized."
Hey, look at me. Yeah. Right. Because I'm one that's very obsessed with, like, the balloon world, and I
sure.
always, you know, Google searches, like, balloon art and this person and that person. I want to know who's out there. So to find your podcast was really awesome because you kind of do it for us. You kind of find who's out there, and then you interview them. And yeah. I find that as something really creative.
Cool, cool. I mean, that's kind of the goal here. So let's segue here then and do that. I was going to say that my kids are the real celebrities of the Air Weaver family when it comes to Twist and Shout. So you guys are a brother-sister team, and you do balloons together. And so I was like, not only do you count as newbies on the, you know, for Twist and Shout to come on my show, but I want to see my kids' future. Yeah.
Right on. Thanks.
That's awesome.
So how old are you guys currently? Everyone asks if you're twins. You are not twins, but you're
nope.
clearly close in age, and I do not know which one of you is older. So would you reveal to the podcast listening world who is older?
Yeah, so I'm older. I'm 22. And
I'm 20. Yeah, so see, Darren's older.
Yeah.
Okay, but, there we go. I did the math.
Like a couple years.
I did the math.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was born in January and this June, so.
Yeah, so we're fairly close in age, but.
So that's that's a good age range. My kids are 3 years apart.
Yeah.
Are there any other siblings in the house?
Yeah, we have a younger brother. He's 18, and he's actually like 3 inches taller than I am. He's a giant. His name's Jeffrey.
Goodness, because you're a tall dude. You're both tall.
Yeah, I'm 6'3". He's like 6'5", 6'6", almost.
Oh, wow. Anza, you're not short. How tall are you, Anza?
Yeah, I'm 5'11".
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Are your folks tall? Are your parents tall?
They are. My mom's about 5'11", too, and then dad is...
6'3".
Yeah.
We're always been tall.
All right.
We're always the tall family. Everyone's looking at this. And so, I was asking us, "Hey, do you play basketball?"
Yeah.
And my favorite comeback is, "No, do you play mini golf?" And all that kind of stuff.
That's a really good one. I like that. There are going to be tall people stealing that joke now. No, do you play mini golf?
Yeah, right. Right on.
Oh my! No, are you a jockey?
No.
Oh no! Or for where I live, more people are shaped like me. No, are you a sumo wrestler? But anyway, let's not get nasty. I like mini golf. That's funny, but not terribly like a smack.
Yeah, that's a good kid joke.
So I want to know all about it. When did you guys start doing balloons and or performing? Were you a stage family? Is your little brother in on the act? Are your folks performers? I mean, I want to know all those things. So you guys tell the story. And Anza, we want you to do some talking too, because I know Darren does a lot of it. So
okay.
Tell us a story of being young Anza and Darren and the family shows you must have put on in your living room.
So when we were younger, my mom, she saw some people in the mall with balloon animals, and she thought like it was really cool that they had balloon animals, and she always wanted to, she wanted to learn when she saw them. So she kind of just like figured out where to get the like the good quality balloons and like what books to buy. So she bought like a basic balloon.
I remembered it was like Captain Visual's book.
Yeah.
Captain Visual's book with the bicycle on the front. And
that
was like the grand finale of the coolest thing you can make in the book was like the bicycle with the monkey riding it or something like that.
Yeah. And then like the bear face. I remember seeing those ones.
Did you know, I don't know if you've listened enough of the podcast to know Jerry Givinko, Captain Visual, has been on the show. And
before
I did a podcast, I did a blog that was my first blog, and I have like eight now, was a month with Captain Visual. I just made Captain Visual's stuff, and I took a month to do it, a couple posts per day. So, yeah. So that's a really
awesome.
You guys started with basically the Bible of balloon art when you were little.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So our mom, she learned from that book, and then she taught us like the basics from that book. And then once we got, like, we've always played with balloons as a kid, just, like, fun toys just to have around the house. And it was always, like, easy cleanup because balloons are awesome.
My mom's a stay-at-home mom, so she always liked to play with us and hang out with us. And when balloons came into the picture, we made swords and dogs and flowers and nothing too amazing past the book. We didn't really realize you could put two balloons or three balloons together to make a creation. It was just kind of like, oh, what can I make with this single one? And they're all jewel tone. So it was kind of old school. So then after that, because my mom was a party planner, so she loved having fun with us and doing all that kind of thing. So after that, we never really touched balloons for like 10 years. It just kind of faded away, and it was never really a thing we ever did again. And then one time we were at the Huntington Beach Street Fair, which is a beach about an hour away from us. Our aunt lives there, and we like to go there every Tuesday. And we met a girl named Janelle, and she was doing really awesome balloons. She made Buzz Lightyear, and she was making rabbits, and she was making all types of cool like stuff for Easter. And it was just really fun. And my mom and my sister got back into it again, and they were like, oh, how do you learn? And how do you do this? And where do you buy the balloons from? And just kind of like this nostalgia feeling of coming back. Kind of we got into it again, you know. And it was just a fun family thing. And it just happened to be around the time where Anza and I were at the end of our high school years and we needed jobs. So we're like, what are we going to do for our jobs? And I was working at a pizza place at the time. Porky's Pizza. I was a delivery driver. And Anzo started doing balloons, and she was being taught by Janelle and a company that she worked with. That was more like I don't want to totally go down the rabbit hole of that company, but it's more like a business model that was kind of like balloon extractions. And
okay.
So we were working with them, and they were just kind of training us and teaching us how to make like the first 10, 20 things, you know, how to make a monkey in a tree and a fish on a fishing pole and a shark and a dinosaur and a monkey, or so that already, you know, all that kind of basic thing.
Right.
So Anza actually learned first, and she was doing balloons for about 6 months, working at a restaurant. We started doing balloons at Rainforest Cafe here at the Ontario Mills Mall. And she was doing balloons first, and I was still working at the pizza place, but I was doing balloons as a hobby. Like, I would bring balloons into the pizza place to entertain all my friends, just kind of all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, so we started working at that company.
Okay. Just picturing now, like, this 10-year time warp when your mom was like, hey, let's have some fun with this and just play with balloons at home. I love it. That's kind of that's kind of the Air Weaver household, although I'm the work from home dad, I would say. My office is really in my home, and I'm across the parking lot from my real office. And I'm able to get my out of door stuff done while they're at school. So evenings I have some meetings, but yeah, I mean, the kids and I, we obviously work on shows now. I'm just curious whether your folks had any other like artistic or performing background, or was that just something they encouraged? Like, what does dad do? I'm always curious about this kind of stuff.
Like my dad, he has a business, his own business, and he's like a graphic designer.
Okay.
He will.
He's a graphic designer / sign maker, and he has big machines, and he runs the business out of our house. So we have a room that he turned into his office, and he does, he has big machines that print and cut signs. So he pretty much sign maker. He makes banners, he makes t-shirts. We do stickers and all types of stuff like that. So he has big companies that he's working for right now. His biggest business company right now is an ambulance. It's called Leader Ambulance in El Monte, which is like 1 hour and 45 minutes from us, and he goes there every now and then to put on ambulance graphics.
Oh, okay.
So he's owned his business for about 24 years, and he's doing really well, and he's his only employee pretty much. I work with him sometimes. My mom works with him now that we're all older and she's not really raising us anymore. And so he's been doing that for a long time, and that's something very entrepreneur style that Anza and I really can relate to when it comes to a balloon business and how to handle our business. So we've taken a lot of our wisdom from my dad.
Yeah, and he's been teaching us like marketing skills to like help us with our business and different ways we can run our business with his help.
Yeah, making signs and business cards.
For sure.
Well, that's fantastic. And I mean, those are things that I finally put some money into myself. I'll have to show you the, I'm going to put a video in the show notes about my brand new show where I made a banner just for it. And I've recently got some embroidery work on my shirts, and you know, that customizable stuff is very important for people doing branding. I've had different people on the show, you know, who do that business, but let's give him a free plug. Does he do small run stuff like for, you know, like if a balloon artist wanted t-shirts or stickers or stuff, or is he pretty much on large scale only?
He's mostly on large scale only right now. He's very busy.
All right.
So he's like super busy. He works like 100 hours a week.
So we don't need to send him any like, oh, could you make me 5 stickers jobs? Not really worth his time right now.
No, not at all.
He's just working on ambulances right now and constantly just like staying on top of them.
Yeah, he gets flown out to Oregon to do tour bus wraps, the big tour buses up there. He does wraps for them. We're actually flying out this like tomorrow.
You know, thinking about that in kind of as a parallel to the balloon business, I mean, you know, the performers, a lot of us, you know, have kind of the same mentality of how we get in our, how we book gigs and the number of clients we might have and how we go about doing that. But there are folks that, you know, they get in with one great client where they can get 20 bookings a year, and that's half their work.
Right.
You know, the cruise ship scene is a big for magicians especially. But there, you know, there are... I was just talking to an artist who listens to the podcast in Germany, who deals with, you know, one client where it's not just an annual show. It's this client provides, you know, they have a large chain franchise. So he's looking at, you know, 15 to 20 shows a year for one client. And so keeping that particular client satisfied is a big part of his business. So that might be some business insight for you guys. Yeah. Well, land your whale for, you know, be the balloon people for, you know, whoever it might be. And then that could really, you know, be a big part of your business.
Absolutely.
So you've had the entrepreneurial spirit in the house growing up with it. It sounds like if you want to kind of found your own business in balloon art, the parents are not opposed to that. They want to show you the way to do that.
No, yeah, they definitely push on us to do it. They like it, and especially like because we mostly work restaurants because we have a lot of influence from Cody Williams. We actually we could dive into that story later about YouTube and stuff, how we got in with that. But mostly we work restaurant work, so we hand out a lot of cards so we can advertise and do a lot of advertising for birthday parties eventually.
Yeah.
But for restaurant work, you know, usually if I do a morning restaurant, a night restaurant, I'd make more money that day than I do working with my dad or, you know, some my own jobs with him. So it just depends because he's like, you know, you make good money and you're working with me, you make good money. So it's like kind of all about that at first. And then as for me, I fell in love with balloons like later after I was like, oh, I'm making so much money now. Now I'm doing this and now I'm doing that. And now I love the balloon world itself and the community because it feels like a family.
Yeah.
So I'm sure a lot of your friends, as you were, they say about 10 years till you picked it back up. So were you still in high school then when you picked balloons back up?
When I picked balloons back up, I was like 17. So I was just my senior year of high school, you know, to getting out of high school, trying to figure out what I was doing. I went to community college for a little while and then got a job at Pizza Place. And I kept doing balloons and then it turned into that.
How about you, Anza? You'd be about 15 then?
It was like my senior year in high school. I remember I was in like this sport I was in color guard and I had to perform on the weekends, but then I actually, discontinued it because I wanted to do balloon animals on the weekends instead. So that was like my last semester of high school when I actually started doing balloon animals.
What was that like with your peers? I'm always curious. For the kids that perform in high school, what did you have friends that were like, "What is with that?" or "Why do you do that?" or "Hey, how much money are you making?" I mean, how do they react to your unique hobby / business?
They thought it was really cool. They like wanted me to make them balloon animals all the time. I remember just like different random creations that they said that they wanted me to make them. But
for me, go ahead.
No, go keep talking.
I remember when I used to bring balloons into my work, like I made Elvis and I made like all sorts of stuff and people would like freak out. It's like, whoa, I can't believe you made that. Or we'd, you know, I would make some stuff there, but usually I would just bring it in and see if anybody either wanted it or want to take a picture. And it was just kind of something that I couldn't hold in any longer. It was kind of like, I want to bring balloons to work because I thought they were cool. I didn't care what people thought about me,
yeah.
You know, if they thought it was weird or if they thought it was something different. It was just like, I realized, you know, after a while, because after I started bringing in balloons to work for a few months, they're like, do you want to do balloons or do you want to make pizza? Like, what is your thing? So like, then I ended up quitting and I'm like, you know, I'm just going to do balloons. And that's what I ended up doing full time. And then I'd still get people that were my friends, like messaging me on Facebook, like, hey, do you still do balloons? You know, we're having a wedding and we like have balloons for the entertainment for the kids and stuff like that. So, I mean, I feel like it's the more people, you know, the more impact you make on people when you do balloons in front of them, they remember and they want to kind of contact you again, because it's that interesting thing, especially if you're really good and you can make anything in under 6 minutes. People like freak out about it. They're like, make anything, because I have really, really good designs for line work. Like, I'm mostly a line work artist. For some people out there that don't really do as many line work things, they do bigger builds and stuff. Like, I kind of thrive in line work because when I'm at restaurants, I work for tips. I don't work for tips only, we charge the restaurant too, but I love creating line work designs that are all under like anywhere from 8 to 4 minute designs that are really look really good. Kind of like the influence I got from Cody and Ryan Farewell.
Yeah. And I mean, back to the whole friend thing, I think a lot of people, even if they're like jaded hipsters, they're like, really? You make balloon animals? Then they'll like, then you make them something and they go, oh, whoa. Hey, could you make this? Could you do this? Could you? All of a sudden, the biggest, right. You know, naysayer is like, oh my gosh, I had no idea. And then they want you to make everything. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Right.
A full scale.
We're making balloons cool again.
A full size replica of something looking like a Dyson vacuum cleaner.
Right. I know. Thanks for putting that on your face. That's awesome. When I saw it, I was like, right on. That was such a good picture too.
I was happy with that photo. So yeah, tell us about that you made in the jam room.
So in the jam room, yeah, I was hanging out with Trish Brookholder's brother Quinn.
Yep.
And it was the night of the pajama jam, and we were all hanging out, and everybody's making stuff. And Quinn and I were just sitting there, and we were talking. And I was like, you know what? Everybody's jamming here. They're making stuff. Let's just make anything. What can you think of? And we like tried to search stuff on the internet, like put random letters or stuff together, and we couldn't really think of anything. And then I was like, you know, I don't think anybody's ever made a vacuum cleaner before. And I just came to my mind, like I've thought about it before, and I've never done it. But I was like, you know, since he's here, and I wanted to kind of make balloons with him, and kind of bond with more people. And it was really cool because they live in, I think, Maryland.
Yep.
So it was cool to hang out with him and really bond with someone that was, he's a little bit younger than me.
Right.
So to kind of be somebody that's like, hey, let's just take a shot and just do it. So we created the bathtub vacuum cleaner together. He did the bottom portion, and then I did the clear parts where I stuffed the inside and made it like glass. And then the bottom, you'll see that it has like the little bristles underneath the clear. So it looks like the plastic covering and stuff. So it was really cool to work on that with him. He did a lot of the work too. So
okay.
I don't want to take all the credit.
I got to credit Quinn with you. Okay, right on. Yeah, it was so fun. Yeah, it was just like random, like, oh, look, they got a vacuum cleaner. So
yeah, like, cleaning up the jam room in the worst way.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So do you guys ever work together as a team?
Sometimes, like if we get booked, for balloon animal artists together.
So if it's a big enough event where they want two balloon artists, we like so whenever I get a phone call, I always try to upsell as much as I can, which is a good tip. You gotta check that out. Upsell for decor, we have a face painter that we work with, and even I'm like, hey, if you need a second balloon artist, just depending on how big the event is, because you could have two balloon artists for 1 hour, or you could have one balloon artist for 2 hours. So it's like, we kind of work out the same price, but it's cool if we're both not busy. Then we get to travel together, and then we get ride together, and then we have two people, so you help mediate the line, you help set up. We have a banner that was a big menu that we made, and we actually I designed it, and then we set up a banner, and it has a menu of like all those like it was a design I bought on Etsy. I think I bought it from Purple the Clown. You know what I'm talking about? Also, Holly George has some really great,
right. Yeah, I know her stuff.
Vector art designs. So we put that on there. And so we have different rates for if we both do jobs, but we don't really get a lot unless people want two balloon artists for like right. A big carnival or something.
Yeah.
I'm just now that I'm in the show mode right now, and writing stuff for my kids to do with me, I'm just picturing you guys doing a show. I have an idea for you. I'll tell you off air. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thanks.
Yeah. Definitely an idea. I don't want to put it out there just for too many people, but I have something inspired by a musician. I know. So, I mean, it sounds like you're having a great time, and not dealing with 4 feet of snow is always nice. What prompted you to get to Twist and Shout then? I mean, you guys are young. The fact that you guys were like, when I met you, I was like, oh wait, they're like a brother sister team here by themselves. They look young. And now I know you're 20 and 22. Did you travel with your folks or did you guys come on your own?
So Twist and Shout was my sixth convention, but it was my first Twist and Shout.
Okay.
So the first conventions we started going to were, go ahead.
We started, the first convention we ever went to was Bling Bling Jam in Las Vegas, because it's about 4-hour drive from our house.
Oh, right on.
And that's the only other convention that I've ever been to. And then Twist and Shout was really cool to go to, because I've always like heard of it, because it's like one of the biggest balloon artist conventions.
So we went to all three Twist and Shouts, or not Twist, Bling Bling Jam so far. So we went to Bling Bling Jam this last year and then two before. And for me, I went to WRCA, which is more of a clown convention. It's a clown association. It's a World Regional Clown Association. And that was in Laughlin in 2015. I didn't go this last year, but this last year it was in Vegas. And then the other convention I went to was Florida Super Jam. So I was in Florida in January and then come back in February. It was like going to like a second home, because I was hanging out with the Damons and everything, Billy Damon and his kids, yeah. And Trish Damon too.
Oh, cool. So you guys know the convention scene.
Well. I mean, I know the convention. They're like the real place where people like to hang out and party and have fun. And really, they get work done there too. It's not all the party.
Oh, no, it's definitely work. It's like live hard, play hard, work hard. I mean, it's all of it.
Right.
Yeah.
I just now recovered from Twist and Shout.
Yeah, me too.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I was looking at pictures last night, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just now kind of like, oh, I'm back in my regular sleep schedule.
Oh, cool.
It took a snow day.
Yeah, you guys did so much for the show and everything. Did you guys compete in anything else besides the show?
No, we did too much. Basically, I mean, our Twist and Shout history, and I've told it before, is simply when Olivia was six, we went to our first one. And honestly, the stage competition that had existed was kind of the clincher for us, because I knew we were never going to win a sculpture contest. But it's funny. I've talked to people who were like, oh, I showed up to my first Twist and Shout, thought I was a great twister and I was going to win a contest. And then they were like, oh, wow, this exists. Like, you know, pre-Facebook groups, yeah. But anyway, so we have always focused on whatever can get Olivia on stage. So 5 times now we've competed in the stage show. We have now done the, costume contest 3 times, and 1 time where I thought I might have a shot, and 2 times where we just did for fun, and then let's see, the dress contest last year, Olivia did her dress and I did my unfinished dress, which then led to the joke this year with Christopher Lyles.
Oh, that was amazing.
Trash skirt. But yeah, it's funny, in all those years I have never entered small, medium, or large, nor have I entered a speed contest on Wednesday night or uninflated.
Oh,
Olivia
yeah.
talked about doing uninflated. She didn't get it together. It's, if she wants to do one for Vegas, she needs to start like now. But so no, actually those we've only done contests that involve the stage, whether it be costume or performance. And we're looking at going to Vegas, but not doing so much, because we have to get there too early to make dresses and costumes. And it's not where our strong suit is. But if it's something fun we can do to get, you know, throw together quickly, just for the fun of being on stage and playing, you know, we might do that.
Right, yeah. And I noticed that a lot of people that that participate in competitions, they're kind of not in the classes and they're not in, networking with people. I mean, they might not have to be in the classes, but they pay to be there anyway. So, I mean, I didn't compete in any big sculpture competitions this year, mostly because of that reason, because I wanted to network with people, because I kind of wanted to get out there more as a person than like, hey, you built that big sculpture that didn't win, you know.
Well, it was your first Twist and Shout, although not your first convention. So yeah. So how did that go for you guys then? But did you both get to lots of classes? Did you network? Did you get out of it what you wanted to?
I got out of it I feel like I got out of what I wanted to. I made a lot of great friends. I feel like a lot of my friends are now like they're Facebook friends, and they're a little bit, they live all over the place. You know, anybody from Matt Saloon that lives in Australia, we hung out with a lot.
Yeah.
And then, Pookie and Christopher Lyle and, so many, sorry if I missed anybody, but there's so many people that I love hanging out with. Even there's, Gus Williams in Colorado. He's really cool. And, I got to network with a lot of people, got to take a lot of the marketing classes with Vivi Kibbe and other entertaining classes about performing at birthday parties, which those are things that I need to work on, because like I can make the balloons, and that's what I've worked on for so long, because I'd say I've been twisting for about 4.5 to almost 5 years now, And I got the balloons down. Like, I can make balloons really well. But for me, for the marketing and the brain part of it was figuring out how to talk to clients and customers and make them feel like you're meeting their needs with your service. That's the part I'm working on right now. And developing a brand and developing a website and developing all sorts of, you know, either like I'm building a YouTube channel right now that is not any, that's not up yet, but I'm working on a bunch of ideas for that. So like for me, I got out of it a lot of great things from the community of balloon artists, which is so strong.
Anza, anything to add?
Yeah. Meeting all the people was really cool. Now I have like a bunch of new Facebook friends and like a lot more balloon ideas that I learned at the balloon convention too. Ideas like in making balloon creations from the different classes. I really liked, because it was my first convention where they had different classes, like the three different classes. Like that was really cool because we were just used to just like one class. But I didn't even know, like, it was just a whole new experience of, like, a different way that a convention could be put together that I've, like, never experienced before. So it was really cool, and there was a ton of people from different countries that I got to meet and part of different parts of the United States that I got to meet. So that was really fun.
Yeah. So it sounds like we'll probably see you guys in Vegas because you're only a 4-hour drive.
Oh yeah. We're going to caravan with the Brunions and Buster
Balloon. Oh yeah. That's what he was saying. Yeah.
Well, I was going to ask, do you ever get to the SoCal Balloon Twister Jams? Cause I mean, you are in prime area. You've got, you know, the folks you just mentioned, Buster and the Brunions are out there, and you've got Rob Balchunas is out there, and he wasn't around for this Twist and Shout, but Jack Mattson, I don't know if he's still in the balloon world, but that guy is a legend, absolute legend. You have John Justice is out in your neighborhood. You've got some real great people. Are you able to get to jams?
Yeah, so one of the biggest jams, I'd say, is at the Mayflower. And that's a balloon store in Cerritos. And we jam there I try to go. We both try to go, but it hasn't been. I went last month, but we didn't go the past couple months just because it landed on a day that we had other things. But it's the first Monday of every month. And that's a really good jam to go to because they're just super friendly there. And they welcome new artists, and they also have old artists. And even if you are very experienced, they don't really expect you to teach a whole bunch of stuff unless you're jamming. So everybody's kind of, you just talk and talk and talk. And there's so many different possibilities about other things you could teach or learn. So it usually gets started really well. Glenna, I don't know her last name, but she does a really good job at hosting it. And also Melinda Newton does a good job of hosting it too. We have other jams that are almost every week, but we kind of don't go to those ones as much. Those are like face painting jams, and they do balloons there too. But we also try to hit it. Ryan Farwell created a jam for it's usually the third Tuesday or Wednesday. He usually notifies you the month of, and that's in Rancho Cucamonga. And that's about 30 minutes from us. So it's about 30 minutes from him. So we meet in the middle, and usually we go to that one, and all the Farewell family goes down on Jazzy, and even the kids will play around with balloons and paint and stuff with their faces painted. And John Justice will show up to that one. And then a lot of other artists from the other jam, the first Monday, come to that jam too. So we've had a good turnout so far the past couple months.
So now not only am I jealous of you for your weather, I'm jealous of you for your proximity to other great artists and jams. I mean, I've got local friends, don't get me wrong, but there's only like one an hour and a half one way, one an hour and a half the other way. And then the Burkholder family mentioned they used to live closer to me, and then now they're in Maryland. But it's because I met Rose and Tristan years ago that at their jam that I really got into the Twist and Shout scene and really became as into balloons as I am. So I always go back and credit Tristan and Rose for my being my like balloon parents.
That's amazing. That's awesome. Yeah, they're great people. I got to have a lot of good conversations with them too.
Yeah,
so cool. So I'm trying to think what's left to ask. I mean, you had a great Twist and Shout. It sounds like you're networking, you're doing all the things that sometimes people do last, you know, when they know how to make a thing, but they need to learn how to be entertaining with it and to sell it. And it sounds like that's what your focus is right now, to be on top of that.
Yeah, that's totally the focus. We've been making balloons, you know, for a long time. We used to work for another company that used to kind of, we were the independent contractors, and they would put us in their restaurants. And we worked for them for about 2 years, and then we ended up quitting right at the beginning of 2016. So it's been about 2 years.
Yeah.
No, 2015. So right when 2015 started, we stopped working with them. And
so they kind of just got us started, and then we just kind of took off on our own and got our own gigs and own restaurants. And
I'm getting the impression that that's kind of the model for those that you mentioned. It's not Balloon Distractions, but it's a similar business model. I don't know, because in my area we don't have anything like that, but my guess is that if you get serious about it, you eventually leave those, you know, services, and you become your own brand, your own company. What I was going to ask you is, do you market together? Do you have like a website, like, for, is your company to covering both of you, or are you establishing independent brands?
So it's a little bit of both. We kind of had the same brand for a little while, but lately we've been kind of establishing our own brand, because we've been, you know, all the things with our business names and taxes and all that, all the paperwork we have to work on and deal with. We have a name called Talented Twisters that Anza came up with. And that's a really cute, cool name, because we're like, every time we're in a, you've experienced this too, I bet, when you're in a restaurant or at a party or anywhere, and you make a cool balloon for a kid and a parent, and the parent's staying there, and they say, "Oh my gosh, you're so talented! You're so talented!" So we kind of came up with, like, so "Hey, we're talented twisters," because we get told we're talented all the time.
Yeah.
So and we know that the person that's saying it has no idea what you can make out of balloons. So it's like they're just saying it to any great balloon artist.
Sure.
I mean, we're better than most, but we're not the best. And
right.
I for sure know that we're not the best. So, like, for them to say that, like, I've heard you in previous podcasts talking about how you kind of listen to that person, you feel like you're the best in the world, and then you go to a convention, and then you're like, oh, man, they made that? They double-stuffed that many balloons? Holy cow. So,
yeah. But like we always say, you know, your clients don't go to Twist and Shout, okay? So they don't know.
Yeah.
Although I do feel, I am starting to feel the pressure. I don't know if you guys notice this, and you're more, you know, I mean, you're very young, so you're much more socially, social media savvy. I mean, people are seeing more balloons now than they used to.
Yeah.
So, I mean, not only, I mean, and sure, frankly, the amazing balloon work has gone exponentially. All right. You know, look at the cost. I always say the costume contest is a good example. If you look at the first year of the costume contest at Twist and Shout, they were rather basic, and there were only a couple folks in it, and they were real basic. Costumes that won maybe 3-4 years ago would not be in the top three now, because they've just gone, the people who innovate those costumes have gone insane with it. So what I'm getting at is people are starting to see viral videos of, like, Conrad the Unicorn this year, and now from Twist and Shout, Jeremy Johnston's first place medium sculpture.
That just went viral.
That went viral. So people are seeing stuff, and they're like, "Wow, you can make anything out of balloons." So we do have to up our game to stay current. But also, like, what's really fun for me is when people I know that aren't balloon folks tag me, and they're like, "Andy, have you seen this?" And I get to say, "I was there when it was made, you know." I was at Twist and Shout. Have you guys had that kind of thing with your experience?
Yeah,
totally.
Sure.
I've gotten friends of mine that send me. I don't know if it was Naosaka or other, some other type of Chinese, you know, that Asian area where they make amazing stuff. It's just, it looks so amazing. It was like a caterpillar and a bull, and they sent me this, like, whole bunch of pictures. Like, have you seen this? And I was like, I saw it like months ago, but it's funny because I love to stay current with balloon stuff. So, like, when my friends are telling me, "Hey, look at this, hey, look at that," and they're always asking me about if I know this person or know that person, like, you know, it's like, "Oh, Mark Byrne, this, through that." And it's like, "Well, I had dinner with Mark Byrne at the Bling Again too, and then we talked about this, talked about that." And so it's like, you know, it's like we're all we're all so connected. It's kind of like, it's a club where it's like, if you reach a certain skill level or a level as a balloon artist, either if you do it in a way that's your skill at making balloons is really good, your skill with people is really good. Like, because a balloon artist like me is totally different than someone like Nick the Balloonatic, because I can create over 500 different things off the top of my head, and Nick the Balloonatic does a good amount of things that he does with balloons, and he's a great balloon artist, but he's such a great people person that he goes above and beyond with his people skills that I'm very shy of doing. I'm not shy as a person, but I mean, like, I'm not anywhere close to his type of person skill, people skill. But that's what I'm saying. There's those different levels in balloon art and balloon artists that you could do with it. It's like some type of genre, like music. Like, music is its own, where there's so many different types of genres in balloon art. There's so many different types of balloon artists. There's people like Molly Balloons that only makes dresses. And her line work balloons aren't amazing, but they're pretty good. And then there's people like Cody Williams that can make everything you want super fast, and he talks at 100 miles an hour and just kind of entertains you with all the puns, you know. So there's so many different types of balloon artists and so many different types of people that just boggles my mind that, you know, you got to take what you can and you add your own twist on it, literally, you know.
Twist.
Twist.
That really pops. I'm so tired of making that own joke for myself. Anne's, anything to add? Who are your influences? What do you hope to do next with balloons? I just asked three giant questions all at once.
Well, my influences, like in the balloon world, I would say is, Holly George. Like, I really like all of her, like, her balloon creations and, like, the new line that she came out with, apparel. Like, I think that's really cool. Kind of makes me want to explode and, like, because my dad can do apparel, so kind of makes my mind, like, grow a little bit more and just kind of, like, see what I can do with apparel, too, possibly someday. I'm not sure, but...
She does rhinestones on shirts.
Really well. I do rhinestone shirts. So maybe maybe in the future I can make some rhinestone shirts with balloon stuff. I don't know, but we'll see where that goes. And then I really like Molly, and I've been making a couple balloon dresses lately, and she just kind of inspires me to keep on going because she makes really good balloon dresses, and I like her art form of different styles that she comes up with, and so I'm slowly, like, practicing those, and, just see where that goes, too. She really inspires me to keep on going, and well, just challenges me to see what I can do with my creativity.
It sounds like you both have lots on your plate, lots of things that you're thinking about, you're processing all these great influences, and you've got this, you know, home business background that you've got, you know, such great examples and you know, advice. I can't wait to see where the future takes you guys. I just think you're destined to do very well. So right now your website is talentedtwisters.com. You're welcome. Talentedtwisters.com, right?
We don't really have it set up yet.
The domain, but we don't have a full website yet. To get the best hold of us is on Facebook. We have Talented Twisters as that page on Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook and Instagram, we both have Talented Twisters. We just post pictures on there.
Okay. Well, everybody, look out for the next up-and-coming stars of Southern California. Talented Twisters on Facebook and Instagram. And we'll see you at the next Bling Bling Jam, if you're there, probably. The next Twist and Shout. Sounds like you're not going away anytime soon.
Yep, not going away. We love it.
We do.
Cool. Well, thanks for coming on the show and sharing some of your first-time Twist and Shout experience and some of what it's like being young Twisters. I really liked having you here today.
Thank you for having us.
Before we go, could you guys possibly, say something charming?
Something charming.